wisdom of God unto us. Understanding the price of Jesus in our lives, we raise the value that we place on him in our lives. Understanding the price of wisdom, who is Jesus, we increase the kind of worth, his worth, that we see in our lives. And you know, the worth of what you carry determines how you carry yourself. The worth of what you carry, that's why there is a thin line between things that you wear and pride. If the inner life is not conquered, has not been overcome by wisdom, who is Jesus? You know, some people with the level of what they wear, the car they drive, even the way they are going to be driving, the way they will sit on the steering, you begin to wonder. Because the worth of what you wear or what you find yourself around will determine how you carry your life, how you carry yourself. So if we discover that in the realm of the spirit, that we know the worth of Jesus in our lives, we know the price of Jesus that is far above what anything can buy, then we will see ourselves in a different way. No opinion will matter about who we are, but who we are will be determined by who we have. And that's the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 16. Proverbs 17, 16 tells us that wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, saying he has no heart to eat. A fool is not ready to pay a price for wisdom because a fool does not understand the worth of wisdom. So when you tell a fool that, see, sit down and pursue Jesus, sit down and listen to the word of God, he does not have time. He can't pay a price to seek Jesus. He can't pay a price to go to connect with Jesus. He can't pay a price to know Jesus more because he does not understand his worth. Somehow I bought some books that I thought, even with high price, but when I get there, I will discover that this has no worth. It has not compensated for my value. I just drop it. Because you don't spend your time for what is not valuable. So, wisdom has a high price. That's what I'm saying to us this morning. And that's Jesus in our lives. So if wisdom has a high price, in the lead service for the remaining Sundays in this month, if Jesus tarries, we will speak on wisdom to overcome life's challenges. Wisdom to overcome life's challenges. Wisdom that handles life's challenges. Wisdom to deal with life's challenges. Because I know presently, as a church, We need this. And not even as a church in this local assembly alone, you discover that believers are going through a lot of things in many places. We need to understand the wisdom that can deal with the issues of life, that can make us to be overcomers. And as I speak right now, receive this wisdom in the name of Jesus. So this teaching will focus on three things in the next 3 weeks. Number one, wisdom we are going to focus on this morning is the wisdom of love of Christ. Don't forget, Christ is our wisdom. So we talk about love of wisdom. Love of wisdom is the wisdom to overcome life's problems. Love of wisdom, love of Jesus, love of Christ is our wisdom. Then number two, which we are going to be considering next week by the grace of God, is learning of wisdom. Learning of wisdom. In other words, learning of Christ. If I want to overcome challenges that comes my way in life as a believer, as a Christian, if I want to be an overcomer, I must learn wisdom. Everybody say, learn wisdom. I can hear you say, learn wisdom. Are you connecting with me at all? Please let your heart be here. Learning of Christ. Jesus said, you learn of me. It's the wisdom of God to us that can deal with all manners of the issues of this world that wants to limit us from becoming who God created us to be. So he said, if you can learn of me, you can have mastery over the things that may limit you from becoming who I saved you to be. Learn of me. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. You learn of me. That's number two key. Number two wisdom key that can make us to be an overcomer, to undo life's problems, no matter how terrible, no matter how big they are. And number three, in the third week, if Jesus tarries, is leading with Christ. Leading with Christ. In other words, number three key to overcome life's problem is leading with wisdom. You be on top. You be in charge. Christ was never limited, so we can't be limited. Christ was an overcomer, as we are going to be seeing very soon as I share some few things with us. Then we have a DNA to be overcomers. We don't have a DNA to be limited. We have a DNA to be overcomers. Deko, are you listening to me? There is an overcomer in you. There is a champion in you. There is a victor in you. No matter what will come your way in the journey of life, you have been equipped to overcome. Nothing will stop the fulfillment of your destiny. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, you are an overcomer. Glory be to God. So you look at these three things, they are very important. So we will look at the first one this morning, the love of wisdom. The love of wisdom, which is the love of Christ. So let's open our Bible to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be reading from verse 35 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Are you there with me? All right, let's read now. Who shall separate us? Everybody say who. I can hear you say who. All right. Who shall separate us? Don't forget, it's not what shall separate us, is who. Shall separate us from what? The love of Christ. Who shall separate a believer from the love of wisdom of God? From the love of Christ, shall tribulation, everybody say one, or distress, say two, or persecution, say three, or famine, say four, or nakedness, say five, or peril, say six, or sword, say seven. All right. So before I conclude this message this morning, I will discuss with us seven common challenges that separate or that get believers defeated in the world. Seven common challenges that get believers defeated in the world. And we're going to be seeing why these seven common challenges are common. They are not uncommon. Things that wreck people are not uncommon. It's only things that help people that are uncommon. Problems that destroy lives are not uncommon. They are common. It's only that secret that brings solution, they are not common. They are uncommon. Do you see the opposite this morning? So you realize, he said, verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed. All day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Yet, in all these things, everybody say, in all these things. I can hear you say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who do what? Loved us. Is he love us? Is he a past tense in your Bible? Who loved us? Is he going to love us? Is he loving us? Who loved us? Now, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Everybody can read verse 39 together. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Facing and overcoming life's challenges cannot be accomplished without the wisdom of God. Overcoming the problems of this life. And we better understand at this very time that life is full of challenges. Job looked at that and said, a man that is born to this world is a few days. Yet, is born into many troubles. It's a few days. Whether 120, whether 130, whether 150, few days. But the life that we live in is not a life of bed of roses. It's a life that is full of challenges. And they don't announce to you that they are coming. One of my mentors said, as miracles happen suddenly, so tragedies. As miracles happen suddenly, so tragedies happen suddenly. So life is not a place where you are being announced to, that a challenge is coming your way. So we have to face life as believers with the wisdom of God. And I want to say something which may bring an establishment of understanding concerning this message in your heart. A very dear sister of hers, when she came around, Sister Lara, to the house with her husband on her birthday, February 6, began to share with us and my wife how when she was in school, she had an encounter with a particular man who had been a long-standing believer for years, but who suddenly turned and went to join an Ekanka, joined and left Jesus because he lost his wife and his children in the same day. And she said to us that whenever the Lord moves her heart to go and meet with this brother and talk to this brother, "Brother, Jesus loves you," he will tell her, "If your Jesus loves me, why should your Jesus allow my wife and his wife and his children to die the same day?" He could quote Bible and quote scriptures from beginning to the end, but he has become disappointed in Jesus. One of our pastors here visited a brother, and when he gave me feedback later, I said, "Why is he not in church?" He said, "He's angry with God." He said, "God has offended him." How many of us are here that God has offended? I hope you know that God has offended many people to some people. I mean, believers. They looked at you, they said, "If your God, I have served you. Have I not served you all this? Why do you allow this calamity to happen to me?" And because of that, they curse God. They see God as a faithful God only when things work. God is no longer faithful when things don't work. And these things are the Jeko-Jeko teachings. They are the product of Jeko-Jeko teachings. And believers, the church is raising in our time. You tell them, "Come to Jesus." When you come to Jesus, having come to Jesus, no more problems in life. No more challenges. Your life will just be smooth. Says who? And somebody will come to Jesus with such a mindset and say, "I've come to Jesus." We'll be serving God. Of course, you know, when we come to Jesus as babes, certain things happen suddenly, whether you pray or you don't pray, whether you fast or you don't fast. You just say, "Jesus, as I'm going out right now," even when you don't walk, "Jesus, send some 100,000 to me today." And because you are a babe, like the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt and they were under manna. You know, manna was, "What is this?" They never understood it until they got to Canaan and God said to them, "Now, no more manna. Your food, you will have to till the ground. It will come." So you suddenly, I don't know whether you have experienced that, but I have experienced it in my life. I would just say, "Lord, suddenly let this thing happen. No price on your part. And suddenly it will come to be." And when you begin to grow, you discover that they are no longer like that. Do you have a witness in the house? They are no longer like that. Because it's not that they can't happen, but if your child or my child will suddenly have to come without being responsible and say, "Mommy, just my food." He's grown enough to wash plate. The one he used to is still on the table. Even if he's not the one washing it, he doesn't know how to take it to the kitchen. And next time he just sit and say, "Mommy, lunch." So you wonder, you say, "Can't you take your plate and be responsible?" So as believers, the Jeko-Jeko problem in the church today is that we don't teach believers how God wants us to be responsible. So when they come to Christ, they come to Christ with the sense of God is responsible for everything about me. I can't be responsible. So if anything happens, I blame God. The reason the children of Israel, anything, a little thing that happened, God was to be blamed. Why did you bring us out of Egypt and you brought us out? You now brought us to this point and now you will cause this to happen. God will say, ah. And they infuriated God to the point that he wanted to destroy them because they were babes. I'd like us to understand this morning that as believers, life challenges, they come to mature you. They come to make us to become responsible believers. They make us to understand how to deal with God because our own wisdom, who is our master Jesus, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So our master did not come to this world without a suffering. But do you know, he has taken our suffering away, but there are things you are to pass through in this world. Then what he came to do in this world is to take suffering away that will not make you defeated. He didn't clear the way that challenges will not come your way. So we need to change our mindset about what we see as Christianity. So that when certain challenges come our way, or what we are going through presently now, it will not toss us to and fro, and we will lose the love of Jesus. So Paul said, who is a matter of a personality? There is a personality that is fighting to separate us from the love of Jesus. And number one personality is Satan. That's why that scripture did not say, what shall separate us? He said, who? That means there is one person, there is a personality that is attacking your love of Jesus, your relationship with Jesus. And the only way he could get you off is to bring challenges that are beyond what you think you can handle. But don't forget, because I may not remember this again, let me quickly say it. There are no uncommon challenges in life. Everybody say, there are no uncommon challenges. You know what? Paul said, there has been no challenge, no temptation that has befallen you. When our mommy here had an accident and the Lord has lifted her, has raised her, you know, it will look as if at that time that is an uncommon challenge. But ma, when you were in the hospital as at that time, did you not see other terrible cases? Did some people not die while you were there? Paul said there are no temptations that has befallen you, but such as is common to men. There are no uncommon challenges. There is only an uncommon wisdom to handle them. But such as is common to men, so everything you go through is common. Somebody somewhere is going through the same or greater. So we can't get to a point and say, Lord, you hate me. Lord, do you know the mentality of Job? If Job should have come to a point when his wife saw and thought the problem Job was going through, like many of us used to see people going through challenges, and the next thing you tell them is that they are sinners. All the friends of Job, God said at the end of the day, he said they have not spoken well of him at all. That's why I don't like reading those words, because it's just that there is nothing that is in the Bible that is not perfect. But I don't like reading the words of those people. But do you know, if you check their words are powerful. If God did not condemn their attitude at the end of the day, you won't know when some people speak, you can take them for what they are saying. They told Job, if you have not sinned, our God is faithful, that he can't allow evil things like this to happen to somebody who loves him, who is in right standing with him. Excuse me, says who?
And all these people, they were three close friends. They became who that wanted to separate Job from the love of Jesus. It was first his wife that Satan entered into and said, tell your husband, it's useless now to be your husband. Why can't he just curse God and die so that you can marry another person very quickly? And the woman went to him and said, do you still retain the love of God in your heart? Do you still retain integrity in spite of all this that he has done against you? Why not curse him and let him even kill you? Your death is better than your useless, irrelevant life that you are living. But the Bible says, in all of this, I love Daddy Job. May God bless Daddy Job for us. Job is going to be one of the examples to us of people who will say to you, what have you been through? How long were you in need? Look at how I started. Many children, great company. Do you know Job was a wealthy businessman and suddenly one day everything collapsed? How many of us have faced that, have received such a news ever in our life? And not only that, as if that wasn't enough, boys, a man who has been a very influential man became a man sleeping inside ashes. You know, we read scripture without imagination. We don't see that these things are real. But Job, in spite of this, he lost all. But when you read Job 42, the end of Job. That's why we read, he said in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, in all these things, in all the challenges I'm going to ever go through, in all the challenges I'm going through now, in all that you are going to go through, there is an assurance, there is a testimony. If Job could say that at the end of the day, God blessed the end of Job than his beginning, then we have hope. Say to yourself, I am more than a conqueror. I can hear you say it very loud. I'm more than a conqueror. After this morning, will you allow Satan to make things you go through as a child of God to affect your love for God? So the world we live in is a sea. Everybody say the world is a sea. So it takes the wisdom of God to navigate our ship in it. It's a sea full of storms. For the fact that you are born again does not mean that you are not going to go through the turbulence. You are not going to go through the storms. God is going to be writing your stories not by your celebrations, but by your trials. The reason you love to listen to many people is not because of what they have been able to achieve, is the process they have been through to achieve it. The reason some people can talk and you can listen to them is not because they are great, it's because of the trials that has led to their greatness. That's why there is a saying that the secret of great men is in their stories. And those stories are not always palatable. You can't ever be a blessing to your generation if you are looking for how to excuse yourself from challenges of life. You just want a smooth sail journey of life. But my challenge is this. How are you responding? It is not about what happened to us. Somebody said, it is not your falling that is the problem. It is your staying on the ground that is the problem. The scripture says, a just man falleth seven times and rises again. Micah said, rejoice not over me, my enemies. If I fall, I will rise. Everyone, I don't know what you are going through. I have a word from the Lord. You are rising. Above whatsoever you are passing through, you are rising. You are not going to be defeated. You are not going to be put to shame. You are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus.
So because of time now, after Randolph, the world is full of challenges. But God wants his children to be overcomers. I'd like you to take your time, listen to this series that God is starting with us over and over again. We have a platform that you can download our audio messages now. Many of us need to listen to this. You can download those audio messages on your phone. Share with other people. People need to hear what we make them to be who God wants them to be. Don't let us be sharing junks. Let's share the word with people. We also, there are times we have to listen to these things over and over. There have been times in my life I have to go back to messages. When I listen to them, I'm lifted. Even my own messages. My wife knows. I will sit down. So it's not about telling you. It's about me. Is he blessing me? So this is very important. God wants his children to be overcomers. And do you know what an overcomer means? It means to be over what has come your way. That's an overcomer. You are not an overcomer until challenges have come. You are a waiting overcomer if your life is without challenges. But an overcomer is the one who is not under problems but above them. He comes over them. That's an overcomer. They have not been able. Lack of money has not been able to stop him. He's above. Sickness has not been able to stop him. He's above. Joblessness has not been able to stop him. He's above. Disappointment from people, criticism, human problems, they have not been able to stop him. He's above. You will always be above. In the name of Jesus. And that's elevation. Do you agree with me? To be an overcomer means you are elevated. You are above. An eagle. Whenever there is a storm, an eagle will always smile because eagle uses storms as a platform to rise higher. They wait for what is called a thermal wind, which is the wisdom of God. And they will stay at the angle that is already strategically placed. And as the storm blows, when that thermal wind comes, eagles simply launch into the wind. And the wind carries eagle. No flapping of wings, no struggle. Above. That's what Jesus has come to do for us. And that will be our portion today. In the name of Jesus. Please take note of this as a round off. You are born to overcome. You are born again to overcome. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Being born again is not just to while away time. It's not to be limited on this earth. Being born again means you are born into an overcomer's family. You are born again to overcome whatever that comes your way. 1 John 5, 4. Whatever that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome even our faith. I am born again to be an overcomer. I am born again to be an overcomer. That's why when challenges come my way, I don't look at them. I look at who is in me.
First John chapter 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he, the one who want to separate me from the love of Jesus. Is greater. Jesus, the wisdom of God in my life is far greater than any devil, anybody, any Satan incarnate that Satan want to use, or any demon that want to stop me from becoming an overcomer. We must tell our children the essence, one of the reasons why you are born again is that you may be able to overcome. We have to let them know being born again does not stop you from facing life challenges, but it will stop you from being defeated by them. You are born an overcomer. I don't know what you are going through, those of us here and those who may be watching online, but there is a DNA of an overcomer in you. You are born an overcomer. You can look at your challenges, confront it, look at it on the face, and tell the problem, I have power to overcome you. You can look at Satan and say to him, Jesus is in me. I am an overcomer. Can you say to yourself, I'm an overcomer? Glory be to God. Number two, overcoming life's challenges is an assurance of God to you. Number one, you are born an overcomer. Number two, overcoming life's challenges is an assurance. God has promised you. It's a promise of God to you. It's an assurance. It's a done deal. John chapter 16 verse 33. John 16, 33 tells us that Jesus said, in this world you will face tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have done what? I have overcome the world. Is Jesus going to overcome? He has overcome. Number three, overcoming life challenges comes with a reward. It comes with a reward. Every overcomer has inheritance in Christ. If you overcome like Jesus did not succumb to the problems of life, to the trials of life, then you will have a reward like him. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, he talked about what you are going to eat. In Revelation 2 11, he talked about what you are going to partake in. And in Revelation 21, 7, he said, you have an inheritance. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. How many things? How many things? All overcomers have inheritance in Jesus. When you stay put and you rise above all problems that Satan, people will bring your way, and you refuse by his help to turn away from Jesus, you will inherit all things. You will inherit eternal life. You will inherit so many rewards. You will inherit all things. Number three, right? Or number four, overcoming life's challenges must be our greatest passion and pursuit. Must be our world. Why do I say that? Everybody open your Bible to Revelation 21 verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. I want to show you so that you can see it there. Why not succumbing to the trials of life that Satan and people brings your way should get into you? Are we there together? Revelation 21, 7. He who overcomes shall do what? Shall inherit how many things? All things. And what will happen to the person? God said, I will be what? Is God, and he shall be what? My son or my daughter. Do you know what happens when I got to this point? The Lord reminded me of a particular story of when a father in the Lord, when I was posted and my wife to an assignment, then when we're still in a formal assignment, as we were going, he said to me, son, I said, sir, there, please listen. You are my son. He said, when you don't understand, It was later they also made me to understand that what he's saying to you is that in his DNA, he has never been a failure. When you can be like him, when you are defeated, so if you are defeated, then who do you resemble? Now, God does not give birth. Write down, please, Sasana. God does not give birth to failure. He's a facomas. Because he is an overcomer. Let me say it again. Write it down. God does not give birth to failures. He is a father to overcomers. Because he is an overcomer. Can we receive that grace? Do you understand that last statement that I gave you right now? God did not give birth to failures. Can we receive grace this morning? As we bow our heads, Father, I receive wisdom of Jesus. Remain an overcomer. Hold on. Let nothing separate me from your love. I will hold on to you. I will love you. Because I know love is for me that I can hold on from your love. No delay. Love for you.